stay here and help our neighbors, friends, co-workers, and families in need. So starting November 20th through the end of the year, every new car sold at Twin City Subaru will be eligible for the $250 donation to the Vermont Food Bank. Together, we can make a difference. Visit our website at TwinCitySubaru.com for more details. Come on, Vermont, we can raise the bar and meet that goal. Please help the Vermont Food Bank and Twin City Subaru share the love event. Help reach our goal, because no child should go to bed hungry in Vermont.
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Thank you, Jim Connie. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. A little bit of change in the weather here, according to forecaster Roger Hill. It's going to get a little bit chillier today. Coming up on the program, we've got a great program for you, I think. Coming up at 10 o'clock this morning, we're going to talk with Pulitzer Prize winner John Meacham. He's got a terrific book out about Thomas Jefferson and a new adaptation of it. So we'll chat with him. I think we're actually going to skip our White House report today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour here at 9:35, we're going to talk with Alan Rabinowitz, who that name might not sound familiar to you, but you may recall Alan. He's this incredible wildlife conservationist who had a has an incredible stutter that he's been able to overcome. He promised the animals when he was growing up as a kid, he would go and spend time with the animals who were the only creatures that he could be around and not suffer from his stutter, which was just crippling, and he was getting made fun of all the time. And he promised the animals that he would take care of them, and he followed through on that promise. He's an incredible guy. We're going to learn about the jaguar, which is one of the animals that he has helped preserve. We'll take your phone calls throughout the program as well. Love to hear from you at 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. And our toll-free line's 877-291-8255. All right, well, we're going to get right down to business this morning. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to the chief of healthcare reform here in Vermont, and a couple of big deadlines coming up here. Let's say good morning to Lawrence Miller. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
It's good to be with you, Mark. Good morning.
So let's begin with healthcare reform in general. Some interesting election results this last week. Very close race. Any indication for you, what does this say about healthcare reform coming up in January and its prospects?
Well, I think the election was clearly about a number of issues. A number of people stayed home for a lot of different reasons. Healthcare reform, like property tax reform, like a number of things the legislature will be facing, are big, they're complex, they touch a large portion of the economy, and we need to make sure that we leave the time and the space to have full and complete conversations and make sure everybody understands all of the complexities of the issues that they'll be working with.
So there isn't a message in those election results about healthcare reform to either go faster, go slower, or stop?
What I'm hearing is a very inconsistent message. There are a number of people who are deeply concerned that we will stop. We're hearing from a lot of them. There are a number of people who are deeply concerned about going forward. I think that what is clear from the conversations I have is that there's a great deal of uncertainty. And what we over Vermonters is delivering a clear package, a clear proposal, and a fair recommendation as to whether or not to go forward. And when we see the analysis, which we don't have yet, then we'll be in a better position to come forward with that clarity.
You mentioned uncertainty. Was it wrong to have not come out with a funding formula before the election?
I don't think coming out with a funding formula that you don't know the impacts of that formula, I think that would be reckless and irresponsible.
Is the funding formula going to be ready in January?
It will. And I expect to have the analysis over the next few weeks. It's got to have a series of refinements. This is an iterative process, as we say, and we're simply not going to put forward something that would have a negative impact on the economy.
Is it done?
No.
It's not done?
It's not done. It's not done until the model is being completed, and then we'll be able to run several versions through, refine those, because we've got a good understanding that the macroeconomic analysis is positive, but we have to understand the microeconomic analysis, and then based on the micro analysis, go back and rerun the macro. It's just takes a lot of time, and it's complex enough that you really want to understand it. And we're talking about 20% of the economy. I want to see a high confidence rating in the results as well. So if those analytical runs don't come out with a consistent finding, that would increase the uncertainty. And given today's economy, that would provide more caution flags, frankly.
Do you see a scenario, Lawrence? I mean, because you've done commerce, too. Do you see a scenario where you run this and you say it doesn't work and you don't present it?
No, I see a scenario where if it doesn't work, we present it and say we don't suggest we do this. We've spent a lot of time and a meaningful amount of money doing this work, and I think we need to be clear about what those results are. If conditions aren't right today, that doesn't mean they won't be right some other day. And we would want to make sure that people understand what the result of all of this research actually is.
Let's talk about the healthcare website, which is different than what we were just talking about happening in January. There's been huge problems with the Vermont Health Connect website. Saturday is a kind of a key date, beginning of open enrollment. You've been working, the website's been shut down. You've been working on this. Is it ready to go?
It is ready to go. So we shut down primarily because we had not completed a number of items on a plan of action and mitigation related to security issues. We weren't going to complete them in the time frame that we'd committed to. And it was easier to stand down and finish that work. So we did stand down. We completed all of those items. We also completed all of the new items that CMS released for new security expectations the week after we shut down. And we were able to reconnect to the federal hub a few weeks ago. That connection has been working from the back office as expected. We also took that stand down time to revise business processes and procedures, to simplify things. The interim change process had 95 steps. We put a team of people on that, worked that down to 24 steps, so it's less opportunity for error, goes faster, worked down the change of circumstance backlog, did a bunch of those activities in the background. The things that weren't available while the website was down is being able to go in and view your account and being able to apply online. But we're using basically the same underlying version of the software, but with a number of performance improvements and usability improvements. We stripped out the stuff that's irrelevant. People in small businesses are going direct with the carriers, so there was no reason to have the employer links and the employee links on there. We've made it much more clear about how to get where people need to go on the website, added a login button on the homepage. That's sort of fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
And revised the question set in the application. There were misleading questions, phrasing that would lead people to answer a question in a way that would halt the application. Good example. Do you have insurance? If you have insurance, you're not eligible to buy in the exchange. If you are about to lose your insurance at the end of the month, you are eligible for that month. Well, it's the 14th of October, and I say I'm going to lose my insurance at the end of the month, I'd like to apply. If I say, yes, I have insurance, which you or I would answer the question,
right.
I have insurance today,
right.
It halts your application, and then you're in the change process. So we've overhauled
wow.
those question sets.
That's like medical,
to be more useful.
Medical hell or something.
It is.
Purgatory.
It's purgatory, and that that sort of built-in error set led to a lot of the backlog of changes that needed to be required. So those have all been cleaned up. The system was updated to the 2015 set Monday night.
The insurance plans,
the new questions, the new website, all of the things that needed to be enhanced for open enrollment. That went up Monday night. There were no issues. We spent Tuesday doing the validation, technical validation. We spent yesterday doing user validation and also retraining all of the folks who use the system. And then this morning it's come up for use by the customer service agents, and Saturday morning we'll open the door.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. We're joined by Lawrence Miller. He's in charge of healthcare reform. You just said, Lawrence, that small businesses can continue going directly to carriers. Who's going to be using the website then?
So people who are applying newly for individual insurance can go directly onto the website, use the application there. That's true for qualified health plans or Medicaid. People can go on and use that form. We expect between 3,000 and 8,000 new applications this year. People can also call the call center, work with a navigator, fill out a paper form, whatever works best for them. For renewals, it's slightly different. There is not a renewals function on the web page. People are directed to an information page that's been up since the middle of October. People can look at the 2015 plans. They can use a version of the 2015 subsidy calculator to calculate what they will get from an advanced premium tax credit or for Vermont Premium Assistance, apply that, and fill out a form and send in the renewal.
In the mail.
In the mail. What a lot of states are doing is they're requiring everybody to reapply. In the normal course of the insurance business, they only expect about 15% of people to make a change in any given year. So having everybody reapply seems like a substantial burden to me. We made the decision to go ahead and auto map everybody to the 2015 version of the plan that they're in. So if somebody takes no action, they won't lose their coverage. If they're happy with the plan they've got, they don't have any updates to make, they don't have to do anything. We'll make sure that they don't have a gap of coverage. If they do have changes, then they can just go ahead and fill out this form, send it in. They don't have to spend time on hold. If they would rather use the call center or rather go to a navigator, they're also welcome to do that. But we're trying to make it as easy as possible and take as little of Vermonters' time to undertake this important step.
Okay. And I think people probably appreciate that. But I'll tell you what I'm hearing here, too. I mean, you got small businesses going directly to carriers. People cannot do a renewal on the website. I mean, for you to sit here and tell me that the website's really up and functioning and working well sounds a little shaky.
Well, I guess I differentiate between the system of Vermont Health Connect and the portal website. And I think our objective this year is to make sure we have a smooth renewals process and that our customer service is where it needs to be, irrespective of the technology. This is a project that's much bigger than the website itself. And we've got the foundation of the new Health and Human Services Enterprise System as part of this project. We've got the new Medicaid Magi rules as part of this project. This isn't just qualified health plans. And so there's a lot more to it. And so when I look at the overall system, we've had the architectural analysis of the underlying system come back green. You know, it's in good condition. We've got a lot of improvements yet to make on the portal. I'm not taking anything away from that. We do have our problems, and the change of circumstance process has been very, very difficult for Vermonters. It's resulted in real problems for people. But I'm charged with looking at the best way to get to done. And while we continue to analyze whether we would be better off taking other courses, right now we're just trying to make sure that we're taking the most fiscally prudent, responsible course to get to a place where we're able to serve people in the way they deserve in the soonest time frame we can.
Let's go to Hyde Park. Ken, good morning.
Yeah, hi. First of all, congratulations on getting this far. Let me hit you with two quick questions. One, what have we learned about how to put together large, complex IT systems? We went from a total failure to what sounds like a very good approach to the whole thing. Secondly, I'm an econometrician. I've done a lot of model building that led to very, very large decisions in the private sector. One of the big things that the model does is to enable you to bring people together and build consensus about certain characteristics of what might go on. For example, there's always been the assumption that there'll be a reduction in the use of emergency room visits. once a single-payer system came into place. People would have health care insurance. Recent studies show exactly the opposite, that the docs being overwhelmed would tend to tell everybody to go to the ER, all the new people. Depends on what the state is like, et cetera, but there are a whole set of different decisions that go into a model that require that kind of distinction. Is there a consensus being built on what the assumptions are about what people, what behavior will be after the system is put into place?
All right. Thanks for your call, Ken.
Sure. So let me address the first question first. We did commission a lessons learned study from Barry Dunn earlier this year, and that looked at the period of time leading up to October 1st of last year, the launch of the initial version of Vermont Health Connect. And then we've also had a couple of assessments done since by Optum. We've also done a number of assessments and done a lot of deep thinking about it ourselves. You know, I think I look across at all of the exchange projects across the country. There were only a couple that came close to success, and they came close to success because they severely limited the scope of their initial project, and they had very small ambitions to get to what was most needed rather than what was most wanted. So I think one of the clear things that we learned is to make sure that that your scope is manageable. The amount of time that Congress provided between passing the law and expecting the implementation of the law was inadequate for this scale of project. And I think you see that because every single project in the country did not meet that expectation. We also identified governance issues. So we have gone through and overhauled the Program Management Office of the Health and Human Services Enterprise at the Agency of Human Services. You've got to have people coming together across agencies and that are affected, across departments that are affected, and working in real time to understand risks, understand decisions that are made in the project development and what those downstream implications are going to be. You've got to stand down and really develop requirements and really address the business processes before you launch the IT component of the project. You can't have IT folks making business decisions in the heat of the moment when they're figuring out how to code something and they make a choice without folks who are really interacting with the end users being involved in that choice. So we had a lot of those problems, and I think the stand-down period and the reorganization of Vermont Health Connect and the reorganization of the HSE are contributing to much better outcomes. On the economic analysis, yeah, it's absolutely critical to have agreement on the assumptions that are going into that analysis. The largest data set that's available for assessing human responses to healthcare decisions is the large RAND study, which has been longitudinal. So that's the foundation of understanding the individual behaviors for the microanalysis. And then the sense of what the major Vermont-based assumptions might be are being done in consensus between our economists and the Joint Fiscal Office economists, much in the way that the revenue forecast is prepared on a consensus basis.
Lawrence, this has cost something like on the tune of $100 million to get to where you are today with it, you know, kind of barely functioning. It's going to get up and running on Saturday. You know, if I were the federal government and I provided $100 million, I think I'd be really ripped.
Well, the federal government is looking at this across all states. And regardless of the size of the state you are, you've got to provide all of the same functions. And so this is not out of line with what other states are spending or what the federal government itself is spending. And this is a mix of IT development costs. It's a mix of technology purchases. It's staffing for operations because they recognize that a state like ours couldn't just have a twofold system at once and expect to fund that out of our regular operating budget. So those operating funds go away at the end of this year. But there's a lot in there. It's not just the check we wrote for technology. And there's also a lot of technology that's not just Vermont Health Connect. This includes what we need to do for our MAGI Medicaid rules engine, which we would have to do regardless of whether or not we were doing qualified health plans. It's the replacement of the access system, the beginning of the replacement of the access system, which is now over 30 years old. AHS has a responsibility to the federal government to account for something like $3 plus billion every year. When you look at the cost of a system and amortize it over the life of the system, to spend less than 0.5% of your daily turnover to have a management system keeping track of that kind of money, that seems actually like a reasonable investment to me. And if we can truly use these tools to transform the way the Agency of Human Services does its business, to take the time to go through those business rules and really transform, we will also be able to take a lot of administrative costs today and move those to delivering services to people that need them.
There's been discussion about how there's going to be more money needed for Vermont Health Connect. How much are you anticipating right now having to ask the legislature for that isn't already planned for and would be on top of what the governor talked about yesterday, this could be $100 million-plus deficit?
So right now we're asking the federal government for supplementals because we are allowed to. It's within scope. I do not right now have any reason to believe that we'll have a substantial increase in the stateside budget for Vermont Health Connect for this fiscal year. I'm not ruling it out, though. We're doing that work. We've got our applications in for the federal government, and we'll be prepared to put something in the Budget Adjustment Act if we need to. But I don't have a figure today.
So this story, some of the stories that came out that said it could be $20 million, not true? How would you describe that?
Where that came from was a daily risk log, and it was identified by somebody working on contracts to say, hey, we've got these contracts that don't necessarily mesh with approved federal funding at this point. That was not a budget document, so it doesn't take into account any of the budget variances to date. It doesn't take into account any of the budgeted money, any of the money that the state had budgeted for operations. It just identified that there was a mismatch between some of the future costs and some of the approved federal funding. Is there a potential of that? Yes. Is it likely? Not at all.
What is likely? When you said not substantial, I mean, you think $100 million is not really substantial over a life of a project, so help me understand what substantial means.
Right now, I wouldn't think it would be more than a couple of million dollars, and I don't know that we can't absorb that in the existing budget. We knew going in that this would be a challenge. The federal government knew going in that this would be a challenge, so there our resources available.
We'll take a couple of quick calls here. Let's go up to Sheldon. Ruth, good morning. I'd ask you to be brief if you could.
Yes. Well, what I hear Mr. Miller say today is that there won't be any changes if you want the same policy you had before. It'll be easy to sign up, but there's a huge major change, and that is the cost of what you had before is going up at least 7.7%. So when people see how much it's going to cost them to get the same policy that they had before, they very well might likely want to change what their policy is. Why doesn't he mention that?
All right, let's have him comment. Thank you.
Sure, that's true. Over 60% of Vermonters who are in the exchange have advanced premium tax credit assistance, and another half have Vermont premium assistance. So those will also step up with the premium increases and mitigate those increases. So what will happen is that people will be mapped over. They will get a bill that represents the new premium, adjusted premium for based on their tax credits using the most recent income information we have. And so they'll be able to see what that change is. And it's open enrollment. People can make changes to their plans through February 15th. So nobody will be locked in to a plan that is above their ability if they do need to make that change.
Eudora, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. I don't know your name, but I signed up with Green Mountain Care. This might be a lame question, but is Green Mountain Care in Vermont Health Connect the same? Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, Green Mountain Care is the state's Medicaid program today, and that's run two different ways. The old eligibility rules are in the old access system, and redetermination of eligibility can happen there. And because the Magi rules set the new rules made more people eligible, those rules are in Vermont Health Connect. So if somebody is not found to be eligible in access, their eligibility is determined through Vermont Health Connect. To see if they fit within the bigger rules. And then all of the payment processing today, all of the management of that healthcare system is in the old access system.
Have you been following this controversy with John Gruber, who is one of the architects of Obamacare?
Yeah, it came to my attention yesterday.
So are you going to continue doing business with this guy? I mean, he at one point said that he talked about the stupidity of the American voter, that he intentionally misled people to get Obamacare through. I mean, is this a guy you really want to do business with?
I find his comments completely offensive. If he were a member of the administration, his comments would be completely unacceptable. The fact is, he is not a member of the administration. He does not speak for us. We have hired him to do some economic analysis. He is widely considered to be the best in that particular niche. Wouldn't take any policy political advice from the guy.
Okay, so you'll hire him as a consultant, but you would fire him if he was an employee of yours.
You know, he does not speak for us. When you're a member of the administration, you speak for the administration.
But how do you expect people to make that distinction?
You know, I just find it so offensive, and it came to my attention yesterday. I still can't wrap my brain around saying something like that. I think we've got to think about it a little bit more. But I'm also not going to take somebody who's been doing a lot of work for us when we owe the Vermonters a clear financing plan and say we're going to crumple up that work right now in the middle of November. So, you know, but we will not proceed the way he thinks one proceeds in politics. That's not an acceptable way of doing business to us.
So you maybe let him finish doing his adding and subtracting and dividing and you get rid of him?
Yeah, he's been hired to do economic analysis and that's it. And I don't think we're going to have any other relationship with him beyond that.
When's he supposed to be finishing? Before January?
He's supposed to be finishing the work over the next few weeks. We did the contract, I believe, goes through February 15th, but I'm reviewing that.
All right, let's take one more call. We go to Waitsfield. Hi, Judy. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a quick question or comment.
Mm-hmm.
I really am not clear about Medicaid, and my problem, or Medicare. I'm sorry. I've been on Medicare for a long time, and we have a supplemental insurance policy with AARP, and I couldn't possibly be happier. Due to God knows what in old age, I've had a lot of health issues in the past 4 or 5 years, and both these insurances have really, really helped me. Now I'm scared to death that with this new Vermont, whatever it is, I'm not going. I know that they are already saying that AARP is out. And who is going to help me now? I mean, I think the whole thing is either nobody's given it a lot of thought, or if they have, they haven't explained it to me.
Okay. Thanks, Judy.
So Medicare is anticipated under all circumstances to continue the way it is. No change. And we anticipate the supplemental market will remain as it is. So whoever is telling you that is not telling you the truth.
We'll get you back soon. Thanks for coming in, and good luck.
Thank you.
Lawrence Miller is in charge of healthcare reform here in the state of Vermont. We'll get him a bag of Vermont Coffee Company coffee. Suspect he might need it. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk with Alan Rabinowitz. We'll talk about the Jaguar back after this.
Hi, everybody. Coming to you from Poulin Auto Sales and Service, the largest previously owned vehicle dealer in Vermont. If you haven't shopped Poulin lately, you just haven't shopped Poulin. We've got over 300 vehicles to choose from, and no matter where you're coming from, we're close by in either Barry or South Burlington. Warranty on a previously owned vehicle? Yep, 3-year, 100,000-mile warranty to be exact.